Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 15, Text 15, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada, Dharmartam api neheta yatrartam vadhano dhanam anihani hamanasya mahaher eva vrittida. Translation, even if a man is poor, he should not endeavor to improve his economic condition just to maintain his body and soul together or to become a famous religionist. Just as a great python, although lying in one place, not endeavoring for its livelihood, gets the food it needs to maintain body and soul, one who is desireless also obtains his livelihood without endeavor. Purport, human life is simply meant for developing Krishna consciousness. One need not even try to earn a livelihood to maintain body and soul together. This is illustrated here by the example of the great python, which lies in one place, never going here and there to earn a livelihood to maintain itself, and yet is maintained by the grace of the Lord. As advised by Narad Muni, tasya iva heto prayateta kovidaha. One should simply endeavor to increase his Krishna consciousness. One should not desire to do anything else, even to earn his livelihood. There are many, many examples of this attitude. Madhavendra Puri, for instance, would never go to anyone to ask for food. Shukdev Goswami has also said, Kasmad bhajanti kavayo dhanadur madandhan. Why should one approach a person who is blind with wealth? Rather, one should depend on Krishna and he will give everything. All the members of our Krishna consciousness movement, whether they be grihasthas or sannyasis, should try to spread the Krishna consciousness movement with determination, and Krishna will supply all necessities. The process of ajagaravritti, the means of livelihood of a python, is very much appreciated in this regard. Even though one may be very poor, he should simply try to advance in Krishna consciousness and not endeavor to earn his livelihood. A question arises here, has been given, sent, based on this purport. A devotee has asked, it seems here that Srila Prabhupada is not interested even in any occupation except direct services for Krishna. In the purport, there seems to be no scope for doing any kind of job or even varnashram-related occupations. Only direct preaching occupation is recommended. Which kind of grihastha can follow this? If one is willing to follow this verse, what is the harm in following the appeal by Prabhupada as it is? One thing that should be noted is in the verse itself says, one who is desireless also obtains his livelihood without endeavor. Not every instruction is meant for everyone. Krishna told Arjuna to fight. Everyone should follow in the footsteps of Arjuna by surrendering to Krishna, but not everyone is enjoined to fight literally with enemies in a battle as Arjuna did. The examples given herein are of Madhavendra Puri and Shukadev Goswami, both who were desireless and renounced from the world. One may also live like this as a householder. It's possible to do if one is desireless, if you're prepared to accept whatever Krishna gives, even if it means you might not have a place to live. You might not have enough food every day. If you're prepared to do that and take everything as Krishna's mercy, in other words, if you're a Paramahamsa, this is quite suitable for you. We have the well-known example of Tukaram, who didn't make much effort to maintain his family, but somehow life went on and he went back to Godhead. In the case of Tukaram also, it's well known his wife wasn't very happy with what he was doing, but he was so absorbed in Krishna consciousness that he just went on anyway. So one has to see the whole situation. We may refer to the life of Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur. We may refer to the life of our own Srila Prabhupada, who in their household lives, they lived as responsible householders. And Srila Prabhupada elsewhere has instructed like that, that if anyone, he was referring to disciples who were living in his ashrams, if they want to marry, they have to be prepared to work hard to earn some livelihood. So it may be that one can live like that without making any endeavor for one's livelihood, but it would require to be would require to be very advanced. To simply push on the Krishna conscious movement without making such an endeavor for livelihood. One possibility is by distributing Srila Prabhupada's books. Grihasthas can do that. And from the profit, they can maintain their families. That is approved by Srila Prabhupada. So there you get income and preaching at the same time. Or if one engages in the Varnashram communities, that's also part of pushing on the Krishna conscious movement. It's not exactly endeavoring for one's livelihood. It's in Varnashram, one simply performs his duty and Krishna supplies. Now, in this verse, Srila Prabhupada has quoted, Kasmad bhajanti kavayo dhanadur madandhan. From Srila Shukdev Goswami stated this. Why then? Because Chirani King Patina, on the roads one can find some old abandoned cloth. And so many examples are given. You don't need a pillow because you can lie down on the ground and use your hands as a pillow. The rivers supply water for drinking. The caves supply shelter from harsh weather. The trees, Angripa, they give fruit. So all arrangements are there. Kasmad bhajanti kavayo dhanadur madandhan. So this is being cited by the same questioner to ask about our trend in ISKCON to collect donations. What was the trend during the time of Srila Prabhupada? When Srila Prabhupada was personally present here, there was collection donation going on all the time. Where do you think all the temples came from? How were the books printed? Certainly there was collection going on. Srila Prabhupada himself personally conceived of and very enthusiastically promoted the Life Membership Program in India, and sent brahmacharis out to collect donations from wealthy persons who might be called dhanadur madandhan, but they weren't so... The people who donated and became life members weren't so blind that they didn't want to give to Krishna. So that was a way of engaging them in Krishna's... engaging their hard-earned wealth, which is a term that Srila Prabhupada often used, for serving Krishna. So it may be that if someone is advanced to the level of Shukdev Goswami or someone who's very renounced, and we do see sadhus in India up to the present day who are very renounced. They live practically with nothing, but they're not pushing on the Krishna conscious movement. So for pushing on the Krishna conscious movement, making collection is very appropriate, is very much required. It engages the wealth of people who work hard to amass it. It engages their wealth in Krishna's service, so it's very merciful to them also. So it's, the principle is there that one should be detached, but the exact application may not be exactly the same in the time of Shukdev and for us here and now. And even Shukdev happily describes Ambarish Maharaj, for instance, who lived as an opulent king. He himself was very wealthy, so that doesn't necessarily mean that he was blinded by wealth. He lived it in the midst of wealth. He didn't collect torn clothes from the road. He lived an opulent life as a king, but at the same time, he was a pure devotee of Krishna. So we have to see the spirit and not necessarily take one verse out of context and try to apply it everywhere for everything. There are many examples like this, just like the description of a brahmachari in this same seventh canto of Bhagavatam. The dress style is very different to that of a brahmachari today. We have to see exactly the instructions, whether they're applicable to us. If we're not sure, we can ask, as has been asked, and I hope some clarification is there. Hare Krishna.